Sup, you beautiful bastards. Hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show, and let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're going to talk about today, one of the more requested stories of the day today, it is light, stupid, and annoying. We have the massively popular Brian Lay, aka Rice Gum, in the news, and unfortunately not just, like, on my news show, but in international mainstream news, because it appears he is the most recent participant in let's go to a country, make YouTubers look bad, and then a lot of people from that country get angry about us online. And this story actually starts on June 12th, when he uploads a video about his trip to Hong Kong. In the video, he jokes that he planned this trip to Hong Kong because people are always telling him to go back to China, although it looks like it was actually for a business trip. And so he goes, he films himself, and then eventually uploads footage that a lot of people found offensive, disgusting, obnoxious. You see him filming meat from outside of a store window.
That shit looked disgusting.
Low-key, bro, we should try a little mail mail.
We also see him later in the video asking locals, random strangers on the street that he's filming, you know, where can I get dog, cat?
Sir, where can I find the mail mail? The doggy? No. Sir, where can I find some dog? Yo, where are the dogs? Where are they?
But then on the other side of it, later in the video, it appears that he tries to make it social commentary.
Yo, I'm tired of all the stereotypes talking about all we eat is dog. That's not true. I'm gonna show you guys what we eating out here.
We eating good.
We eating good.
But then of course there's the other interactions with locals.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Hey, where are the hoes at?
Huh?
To where are the bitches at?
Bitch.
Hey, where are the hoes at?
Bastards.
Hey, you f*** with Rice Gum?
Sorry, sir?
You f*** with Rice Gum?
No.
Touching strangers. There's also a moment where Brian and his friends see that a store is closing, the shop is shutting down. And so they rush in and they're filming despite the employee trying to say that they're closed.
Bro, it's closing, it's closing.
Open.
And following this video, a ton of Hong Kong outlets picked it up. There was a ton of general backlash. You also had other vloggers join in expressing their disgust. People calling out Brian for his behavior, comparing him to Logan Paul when he was in Japan. And here I will say, it feels like a very interesting time that we're in, where a valid defense can be, well, he didn't film a dead body and put it in the thumbnail. But also, it'd be important to remember there that yes, Logan Paul had that massive controversy because of the Suicide Forest video, but also because of his other disrespectful and obnoxious videos out of Japan. And so with Brian, that was one of the main focuses, especially with local publications in Hong Kong, like Oriental Sunday, saying that his jokes were culturally insensitive and rude. His main point, there's this huge blow up and backlash. There's kind of the question of, okay, will Brian respond? And yesterday he put out a video called Why Everyone in China Hates Me. And in the video, there is kind of an almost apology, but a lot of it is him defending himself. At one point, he took issue with someone that took his video and added captions. Part of the web browser translation of the video says he was looking for prostitutes. This seemingly because he said that he was looking for hoes and bitches in the video, and so he hit this note.
When I said, where are the hoes? Is it?
Huh?
Hey, where the bitch is at?
You guys have thoughts here?
One, I was joking because it's like such a random question to ask like an elderly person, you know what I'm saying? And then two, in America, it's like slang, like in the hip hop and rap music, thoughts and hoes and bitches. It's like girls, not actual prostitutes.
Then one of his key points seems to be that he is annoyed that the rip of his video that has the translations on it has more views than his.
Right here, it says 780 Ching Ching Chong. You know, I don't know what it's saying. You translated. Boy.
And here, because he said Ching Ching Chong, some people said that's just outright racist, whereas others were just saying it's completely disrespectful once again. But also, specifically on the note of people calling him racist, he tries to talk about that as well.
Yo, I'm Chinese also, right? And like, the American culture, like, I watch other, like, you know, black comedians make jokes about, like, you know, black stereotypes and stuff, like they eat fried chicken, and like, white people make white jokes, and you know, Hispanic people make Hispanic jokes, and it's like, what I did was like, you know, I thought, you know, since I was Asian, you know, I was allowed to make these, you know, Asian stereotype jokes.
But then after that, once again, he kind of apologizes, but then he turns it into a bit of a joke.
Yo, I'm sorry to all the Chinese. Yo, quit playing around, yo. These guys think I'm racist. I gotta stop playing with them. Like, these guys don't like jokes.
And then one of the last notes that he hits on is he takes aim at one of the vloggers that was criticizing him, specifically a creator by the name of Fu Lin Fong, and he responds by saying this.
Wow, 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 wow. Cry me a river, bro. Who's bullying who? Not me. Are you really gonna be mad about this? No one's bullying anyone. If anything, we should be bullying you. You know what I'm saying?
And so now, actually, because of that last bit, we're seeing people pop up, calling on YouTube to remove that video, saying that this goes against the harassment and cyberbullying policy, specifically pointing to that last statement, saying that it is incitement to harass other users or creators. And so that essentially is the situation where we are now. As far as my personal response to this, here come those dislikes from probably an army of mouth breathers. Hello, welcome. If you want to use the word racist when you're talking about this story, you do you. I'm going to talk about just specific actions. This is just another unsurprising example of a young, rich, famous kid being an asshole in another country. Simply put, and this should be common sense, when you visit another country, you are being a representative of your country. Right? Whether it be a white guy in Japan like Logan Paul throwing fish at cars being obnoxious and disrespectful, or you have someone that with an Asian background like Brian, who's in Hong Kong, by the way. It feels like if you were connected in any way to Hong Kong and or China, you would know how to properly navigate talking about it. You don't speak Mandarin, Cantonese. Based off of your actions, you seemingly have no connection whatsoever to the culture. Right, so that comparison of what you were doing in your video being akin to, let's say, a black comedian talking about the black experience and stereotypes in America, that feels disconnected and not well thought out. But that's just my opinion from, and I'll save the fans coming over to this video sometime, a 32-year-old man who's relevant on a dying channel's opinion. But I mean, this also shouldn't be surprising. Early on, when his career was first coming up, I mean, he of course made his first kind of claim to fame making fun of children. I think I even said probably at that time I was more open to see where his career goes and how he evolves. You know, I say that as someone that, like, the first 8 years of my content, complete garbage. It just exponentially, the further you go back, the fucking more offensive and stupid. But I also actually keep those videos up even though people try to use them against me, because I love kind of seeing that contrast, seeing the evolution of me as a person. It's also why I sometimes end up going soft on the younger creators, because I want to give them some runway. But I don't know. I think some people try to evolve, and I think other people lean in. But that said, I do want to pass the question off to you. When things like this happen, do you think that it really instills in others that that is what Americans are like? Even part of my reasoning in talking about things like this is so that that does not become the universal perception of Americans. I don't know. I'll pass the question off to you. Any thoughts and opinions? Let me know down below. But from that, I want to share some stuff I love today. And today in Awesome, brought to you by FullSail.edu/Phil. And if you're not familiar, Full Sail offers campus and online degrees in the world of entertainment, media, arts, technology. In fact, past employees of mine have been Full Sail graduates. And in fact, Full Sail grads have potentially been a part of things you didn't even know. Full Sail grads helped engineer Kendrick Lamar's last record, animate Steven Spielberg's latest movie, design the latest Call of Duty game. And like I said, you can do it online or at their campus in Florida. Get that knowledge, hands-on experience, connect with other people to build your network. And so if that sounds interesting, maybe down your alley, you want more info, just go to FullSail.edu/Phil and check it out. And the first bit of awesome today is actually also an announcement. Despite how incredibly popular they have always been for us, we have not sold posters for about 1 to 2 years, at least publicly. And now today, after tons of requests over that time period, we are launching two. We have the Stay Humble, Hustle Hard poster and the Boycott Everything Propaganda poster. This is probably my favorite because it's one of the silliest, stupid things I've ever said. And since we're just now getting back into it, we're testing the market again. These might be available just for a limited time, so snag them while you can. Then we got the honest trailer for Mario Sports Games. Then we got just a purely insane trailer for the new Nicolas Cage movie, Mandy. And I will say I am very, very excited about it right now. It has a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. Whenever it comes to Nicolas Cage movies these days, it's kind of a coin flip as to what you will be getting, but this seems like the good Nicolas Cage. Then we had Pusha T responding to interpretations of his lyrics on Genius.com. Then we had Seth Rogen taste testing secret fast food burgers on First We Feast. We had Allison Brie and Marc Maron reviewing classic wrestling moves. And if you want to see the full versions of everything I just shared, the secret link of the day, anything at all, links as always are in the description down below. Then we had Terry Crews and 50 Cent in the news. And that's because on Tuesday, Terry Crews testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, this to help create additional civil rights protections under the Sexual Assault Survivors Bill of Rights. And while he once again shared the story that he went public with last year, the WME agent Adam Venant groped him during a 2016 industry event, sexually assaulted him. He also went on to say that there have been consequences for him, retaliation for going public.
I've done 3 movies called The Expendables with Sylvester Stallone. The producer of that film called my manager and asked him to drop my case in order for me to be in the 4th installment of the movie. And if I didn't, there would be trouble.
So you're going to be in the 4th installment, I hope?
No. Because, wow. I'm sorry, thank you for your question, Senator.
That's good, that's very polite, thank you.
Yes. Simply because this same producer is going under, he's under his own sexual assault investigation. Mm. And, you know, abusers protect abusers.
And there are also some other key parts during this testimony where Senator Dianne Feinstein asks, you know, why didn't you do anything physical? You're a very large man. I'll link to the whole video down below. But how we see this story progress is that after the Terry Crews testimony, 50 Cent goes on Instagram and mocks him. Posts a picture of Terry Crews, I got raped, my wife just watched, then him with a rose saying gym time, and the caption, LOL, what the fuck is going on out here, man? Terry, I froze in fear, they would have had to take me to jail. Get the strap. We also saw Russell Simmons, who had reportedly asked Crews to take back his assault accusation against Venet, comment on that post with a laughing, crying emoji. But in addition to that, the post was also met with a good amount of backlash. But then in response to that, 50 Cent doubled down. It's a screenshot from the movie Friday After Next, where just, if you don't get the reference, it's a scene where Cat Williams' character is grabbing Terry Crews' character by the junk, this seeming to reference and mock Terry Crews' sexual assault. And it has the subtitle, I Am a Boy, on it. And 50 Cent captioned it with, LOL, get the fuck out of here. You're not doing this to me. LOL, get the strap. Hashtag power. But then soon after, 50 Cent ended up deleting those posts. I guess because nothing screams, I'm a badass, like talking shit about people online, and then meekly deleting it. And then on the other end of this, when Terry Crews was asked, you know, what do you think about 50 Cent's post? He just simply said, I love 50 Cent. I listen to his music while I'm working out. That's the deal. I love him. And I just have to personally say, I think that's just, it's just another example of what a big man Terry Crews is. And obviously, I don't mean big like this. I mean big here, big here. Then, really quick, we have an update to a story we talked about a few weeks ago where PUBG Corp was suing Epic Games, this over copyright infringement with Fortnite. Well, according to new reports, PUBG Corp has dropped their lawsuit. Earlier this week, they sent a withdrawal letter. As of recording this video, it is not clear if they just decided it wasn't worth the time or if a settlement has been reached. But that said, I am going to keep my eye out for any official response because I'm very intrigued to see if some sort of agreement was made or essentially Fortnite called their bluff. Then let's once again look to the Supreme Court of the United States, where we are seeing fantastic news for conservatives and horrible news for liberals. You might remember yesterday at the end of my Supreme Court piece, I talked about Justice Anthony Kennedy explaining that while he has voted moderately conservative, he was the swing vote of the Supreme Court. Well, he has just announced that he is retiring. And once again, while considered moderately conservative, we've seen him in the past vote with liberal justices on things like capital punishment, affirmative action, abortion. I mean, this could lead to massive changes in America. Just so you understand how pivotal Justice Kennedy has been, he and his swing vote have been responsible for huge 5-4 rulings. Legalization of same-sex marriage, 5-4, Kennedy. The preservation of Roe v. Wade in 2016 when there were only 8 justices, 5-3 because of Kennedy. Now with Gorsuch and another conservative, that could swing 5-4 the other way. And those are just some of many more. And so what this means is that President Trump and Senate Republicans now have the ability to make the Supreme Court a healthy conservative majority. We've already seen, thanks to Donald Trump's previous nomination, now Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch, that the Senate has no problem invoking the nuclear option, so instead of needing a 60 vote, they just need a simple majority. But with all that said, this is just the beginning of what will most likely be a massive fight. We're gonna have to wait to see what happens next. And then let's talk about the sexiest piece of news today. I really hope this is not the first episode you ever showed your child or your parent or a relative. Ooh, let's talk about standout political primaries heading into the 2018 midterms. And yesterday, if you don't know, voters went to the polls in 5 states. You had New York, Maryland, Oklahoma, Colorado, Utah. And these primaries at times can get very interesting because it kind of shows us the political shift heading into the midterms. There's been a lot of talk about what is the new Republican Party, what is the new Democratic Party. And for the Democrats, it appears that a massive statement has been made by New York's 14th district. There we saw Democratic Representative Joseph Crowley, who's been in Congress since 1998, facing a primary challenge from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And this primary was significant for several reasons. One of the main being Crowley's stature in Congress. He serves as Democratic Caucus Vice Chairman, which makes him the 4th highest ranking Democrat in the House. He's also been seen by many as a major contender and challenger to House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, many people believing that he could unseat her in November. He's also historically just been so incredibly dominant, in fact, unchallenged in primaries since 2004. He's easily won re-election since 2010 with at least 70% of the vote. But then, in walked in Ocasio-Cortez. She's a 28-year-old self-described Democratic socialist. She has never run for political office before. In fact, her main experience? She worked as an organizer for Bernie Sanders during the 2016 campaign. And that's why we saw during her campaign that she painted Crowley as a member of the Democratic establishment, portraying herself as a member of the Bernie wing of the party. And in fact, she was a relative unknown in New York politics until one of her political ads went viral.
Women like me aren't supposed to run for office. I wasn't born to a wealthy or powerful family. Mother from Puerto Rico, dad from the South Bronx. I was born in a place where your zip code determines your destiny. It's time we acknowledge that not all Democrats are the same, that a Democrat who takes corporate money, profits off foreclosure, doesn't live here, doesn't send his kids to our schools, doesn't drink our water or breathe our air, cannot possibly represent us.
It appears that she stood by that. Reportedly, she raised around $300,000 from small donors. She refused to take corporate money. And on paper, that appeared to put her at a massive disadvantage to Crowley, who had raised $3 million. But then last night happened, and it wasn't even close. With 97% of the vote in, Ocasio-Cortez had a 57-42% lead over Crowley. And while this was incredibly surprising news to many, I don't know if anyone was more surprised than Alexandria herself.
Did you put it into words?
Nope. I cannot put this into words.
And this win also raises the question, especially when you pair it with Ben Jealous. He's the former NAACP head, Bernie Sanders' ally, who won his gubernatorial primary in Maryland. It makes you wonder, is this representative of what we're going to see from the Democrats, that it's actually going to push more left? Obviously, keep in mind, New York's 14th district is not representative of Democrats everywhere, and we could be looking at outlier situations, but it will be very interesting to see what happens going into 2018 and then 2020. Especially when we look at the other side of the aisle, the primaries that happened last night, it seems more and more that we are getting confirmation that the Republicans are now the party of Trump. We saw loyal Trump-supporting candidates continue their dominance. Dan Donovan in New York's 11th district, Henry McMaster for the South Carolina governorship, and then of course there's the one where it will be very interesting to see where it goes. You had Mitt Romney in Utah. He, of course, in the past had been very vocal with his criticism towards the president, although it seems like that relationship is maybe mended? Or I don't know, it will be very interesting to see once Mitt Romney is in place. And then, as far as any other interesting votes, we look to Oklahoma, because there voters overwhelmingly approved legalization of medical marijuana. Some calling this a surprising result because Oklahoma is one of the reddest states in the country that has historically been against marijuana legalization, but I also think that it is less surprising since a big part of the marijuana conversation is on recreational legalization, so now medicinal just seems to make sense to more people. And so now I think the way that I want to end this piece is to just say, I know that midterms and primaries are not sexy, but to the people that are watching right now, if you live in the United States, you are of legal voting age, please register and please actually vote. I don't care what your politics are, I don't care who you vote for, but be a part of the process. And it's even more important during the midterms, which historically have a lower voter turnout than when you have your presidential elections. Which is kind of crazy when you think about it, because you're electing the people that are closest to you to represent and affect your day-to-day life. And I know it can feel like your vote doesn't matter if you live in a district that heavily leans one way, or maybe there's gerrymandering. But you've just gotta try. And if I can speak to kind of the non-baby boomers, right? As of 2018, 53 years old and younger, also the kind of key demo of this show, 18 to 35 year old Americans. As far as voter eligibility, you greatly outnumber the boomers and older. As of 2018, it's estimated to be 135 million to 93 million. But despite that, in 2014, where there was a slightly smaller majority. In 2014, the boomers and older outvoted 57 million to 36 million. That is crazy. Embrace it. Voting is just one of the ways you can put out the change you want to see in the world. And hey, if I can hit this from a petty angle to get you registered or to participate in a midterm, if you vote and it doesn't go your way, you have every right to complain now. You tried, you participated, you opted to not be just a passenger in life. And when you don't participate and you still don't get your way, that's still losing. And if you need any help figuring out how to do it, where to do it, blah, 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 links as always are in the description down below. And that's where I'm going to end today's show. And of course, remember, this is the Philip DeFranco Show. It is not just a show, it is a conversation. So whether it be the last story, the first one, anything in between, let me know what you're thinking in those comments down below. Also, while you're at it, if you liked this video, you like what I'm trying to do here, hit that like button. If you're new here, hit that subscribe button, ring that bell. That way you get notifications for these daily videos, which actually, if you did miss yesterday's show, you can click or tap right there to watch that. Or if you want to watch my newest behind the scenes vlog from VidCon, click or tap right there. But that's it. Of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.